This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Welcome back to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, episode number 102.
It's been a couple weeks, but we're back to serve you up a dose of talk and back of the bus metal talk.
Locker room metal talk?
We're locker room talking, boys.
Oh, wow. Changed forever.
We're grabbing dicks.
Dude, grabbing all the dicks.
No more dicks. Grabbing. We're talking about dick grabbing here.
Straight up grab the
best way to start our podcast after a couple of weeks, I think.
And you know, when you grab it, you can't just grab it. You have to.
Hey,
you know,
whoa! Okay, we don't want to cross lines there. My name's Ian. This is Kevin.
Hi.
And Ryan the Beard.
Hey.
And this is Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. We've been gone for a couple weeks because there's been so much going on the last couple of weeks, especially last week. What was the tally, including today? 11 shows in 7 days.
Yeah, it's been pretty insane. Just tonight, the night we're recording, there are three huge shows going on in Seattle. Down at Studio 7, we got Gore Guts, Intronaut, Brain Tentacles, and Violent Hallucinations. Up at Highline, there's Skeleton Witch, Iron Reagan. Who else is playing that show? And then there's also
Gate Creeper.
That's right. And then down over at El Corazon is a Doom show with St. Vitus and Witch Mountain.
Man, El Corazon's getting slammed today, too, because earlier in the day, Church played there as well.
With Greg Nafa.
Yeah, Jesus.
Right, when I showed up to buy that St. Vitus shirt, Church was on stage.
We should create, like, an international metal council so we can prevent, like, all of this conglomeration happening at once.
Can you imagine that huge
fest? Put everyone on a show, exactly.
That would be amazing. Like, rent out Showbox Soto and get all those bands. If you were to say, like, all those bands, like the Skeleton Witch, Gore Guts, and St. Vitus show, who do you think would headline? I think Skeleton Witch would be a good headliner for that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe Gore Guts into Skeleton Witch?
Damn, dude, that's so many.
St. Vitus, Gore Guts, Skeleton Witch?
Holy St. Vitus shit. Would have to headline.
Maybe.
They don't have Wino with them right now, though, so.
Oh, they don't?
Okay. No,
is he still detained or something?
It's
yikes.
He's having a hard time. He got arrested for meth at the airport last year.
That was when he was going over to Europe.
Dude, don't fly with your meth. Smoke your meth and fly.
I know. Smoke it all at the airport and then fly. And then you'll just have a crazy flight.
And then see how long it takes for you to get kicked off the airplane.
The flight
arrested by the air marshal.
I've been watching a lot of Narcos, so that's been going on why I'm talking about that.
The flight attendant's all, hey, do you want some peanuts? And he's like, shut up, you elephants! I can't contain my gorilla!
Ah, man, I've been going to so many shows. I went to a show every night of the week this week, actually. I know I saw Ryan, I saw Ian at a few of them, but it was like my goal to just be like, it. I'm just going to go to all of them. On Monday, I went to Black Breath at El Corazon. It was awesome. Tuesday night was Gojira, and we actually have an interview with Joe from Gojira, the singer and guitar player from Gojira, at the end of this episode.
Sweet.
And then on Wednesday, what was Wednesday? Cattle Decapitation and Brujeria.
Yes, at Studio 7.
That was a fucking awesome show. And then Thursday night was Ringworm at El Corazon, also a fucking great band. And then I topped it off Friday night with a doubleheader. I went and saw Fallujah and Between the Buried and Me. And Ian stayed for Devin Townsend Project, but yep. I jumped over to El Corazon to see a spoken word with WWE Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts.
Jake the Snake. How was it?
It was good, man. It was a dirty old man telling wrestling stories, riding down the road.
Dirty old, was it locker room
talking about drugs and having sex with.
What was
grabbing pecs.
Ring rats.
What was his drug of choice? Kind of just everything?
Crack.
Crack? He got into coke and then crack.
Yeah, if you ever watch the Beyond the Mat documentary, it's like a backstage thing of wrestling, and it actually has unprecedented footage of like WWE and WCW and ECW, but it shows him wrestling in the independent circuit, making like $50 a night, and then like smoking crack, and like his, it's like basically, okay, so the movie The Wrestler, that Aronofsky film, was based off of Jake the Snake's story.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm glad he's doing good, man.
Yeah, he's sober. He's sober. He's you know, I mean, he's still a little bit bigger, but like,
well, he was working with DDP, right?
Yeah, there's a documentary called the Rise and or the Evolution of Jake the Snake or something like that, or I don't know what it is exactly.
I've seen it.
It's on Netflix, and so basically a couple years back he was just drunk all the time. He was doing drugs, relapsing on hard drugs a lot. Him and Scott Hall both were in a really tough spot. And Diamond Dallas Page, DDP, has a yoga program, but he also is best friends with these dudes. And it was hard for him to see these guys go down such a nasty path. And he was like, dude, these guys are going to die. So he had them move into his house, and he got a house. He called it the Accountability House. And he just had them live with him and did like a meal plan for him, and they did yoga every day, and they just lost weight and got sober. And
that's awesome.
We both have amazing just like success stories these days. And the same year, they both got inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Huh.
Good. Cool.
So, Razor Ramon.
Yeah. Razor Ramon, you know, he admitted he'll drink here and there and be like, dude, you know, it's not something I should be doing. So he's fallen off a couple times, but you know, that's what happens. You know, alcoholics,
it's true.
You know, it's a fucking disease. So.
Well, you gotta fight it every day. Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, not to go back on that. What have you guys been up to? I mean, I've been going to a load of shows.
Same schedule. I missed a couple of those because I got a lady friend in town right now.
That's right.
Oh nice. Boy.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good reason to stay in. And I met her family, which is cool already, and they're really nice. I don't want to get too personal, but that's why I wasn't
get
at
personal.
A couple of those. Yeah. So I missed Ringworm this week.
What's her middle name?
Yeah, here's your social security number. No, get the fuck out of here. So, yeah, I went to most of those shows. Devin Townsend last night. Okay, so there's only one thing that I wanted to complain about any of those shows that I saw.
Complain away!
And it happened last time. I think the Showbox Soto, I think it was for the last time As LA Dying was here. And it's front-facing strobe lights.
Ooh.
That are, like, risen up off the stage. That blinded the fuck out of me because I'm kind of tall. So I see over everybody and just... unexpectedly, so at the end of the show, I just like had a straight line across my face, across my eyes that I couldn't see. So stop with the fucking front facing lights, please.
That's messed up, dude.
I can't do strobes. Straight up.
It gave me a huge headache. I like all those bands. It was just dumb.
Fucking dumb. They did have a very ornate like stage setup, though. It was pretty
crazy. Yeah, they stepped their game up for sure.
I feel like strobe lights for Devin Townsend is kind of a dick move on his part, because he's like, man, half my audience is going to be on something, so let's just have a ton of strobe lights.
But dude, they crushed it. That was such
a good show.
And it was packed. It was sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to see, though, at all these shows that there's still a bunch of people coming out. So metal is alive. Northwest metalheads are out there.
It best be coming out to these shows because we're giving away tickets to them, so they better show up if we give away free tickets.
So what else is coming up? We got Opeth coming up pretty soon. Tony McAlpine is on Monday.
Yep, Tony McAlpine.
Dillinger Escape Plan.
Last night was also Ghost. I mean, I didn't go to Ghost last night, but Taryn
and that was also
Ryan Castle. Yeah, they both went to that. We got Soilwork and Himsa both on the same night on the 29th, and then Ulcerate coming up. On the 5th, November 5th.
Opeth.
Opeth and the Swords that night. Dillinger Escape Plan is playing that same night as Opeth.
Jesus!
And who else is playing that? Cult Leader's opening for Dillinger Escape Plan.
Where's the Heavy Metal Council?
We got the Ailstorm show coming up with Necrogoblicon.
Cool. There's a lot of
I wanted to do like a pause, crickets chirping. Meep, 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 meep. So, how about that Ailstorm?
How about
Ailstorm. Getting drunk with some pirates?
I'd rather do that at Disneyland.
I'd rather do that.
Dude, that would make the Pirates of the Caribbean ride so much better.
I don't know if you can sneak in a flask, though.
On a flask anywhere if you're sketchy enough. Bring back Sketchy Ian. Sketchy again.
Remember that time you stashed your flask in the garbage?
Yeah, because I couldn't get it into the Seahawks game. I didn't realize there was a metal detector. So I just stashed it underneath a pile of garbage and then came back later because I figured, who's going to look under this f***ing pile of garbage? No one. And I came back and I found it.
What was your flask's name again? Flasky McFlaskerson?
No, Bill Flasky.
Bill Flasky, that was it.
Yeah, and if you don't get the reference, you're probably not old enough to drink.
I have a question for you guys. Since it is Halloween season, it's October, a lot of people are doing like the 31 movie challenge where they watch 31 movies, a movie every night. What is your favorite horror movie of all time?
Ooh, that's tough, man.
Or one that's just a go-to if you can't think of other ones. One that's just like one that you'll watch all over and over again. Mine is, personally, it's Nightmare on Elm Street. Freddy is horrendous to me, and he was always scarier to me than Michael Myers or Jason.
Yeah, because he's f***ing with your dreams, man.
And he's, he's a f***ing
That was like a new level.
Dude.
I think the first movie I ever saw that actually like kind of f***ed me up was Stephen King's It.
Oh,
I saw it when I was really young.
And with those
TV.
New clowns, all those clowns going around.
It's that in The Shining when I was a little kid. I watched The Shining at way too young of an age, and that just messed me up.
How about Rosemary's Baby? You ever seen that one?
I don't think so. I think I've seen part of like the old, it's an older movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've probably done a recreation of it at some point. But I don't know. For me, I'm torn between like the scary zombie stuff and like Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Like
kind of sci-fi, but still.
Like horror movie style.
Dude, The Abyss.
I mean, it's not very Halloween-y, but you know what I mean.
The Abyss, man. That's one
I
of
love
my,
that movie.
That movie is so freaking good.
Steven Spielberg?
One of my favorite movies to watch around Halloween time. Not necessarily a scary one, but a really fun kind of goes with the vibe of the holiday season. Lost Boys.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I love Lost Boys.
You also got like
Monster Squad.
Monster Squad, Hocus Pocus.
Yep.
Protect the Block.
Stupid.
Yeah,
there you go.
One that I watched last night for the first time ever and is more like a realistic horror movie, but is a f***ing terrifying movie, was Fatal Attraction. And
creepy.
Jesus Christ, man. Like, it makes you never, I mean, you probably shouldn't cheat on a girlfriend or a wife ever, but it makes you really not want to cheat on a girlfriend.
I mean, that's real.
Yeah.
We've heard those horror stories in real life.
F***ing scary. She'll pull a Fatal Attraction on you.
Lorena Bobbitt, remember that?
And I just want to say this. Dude, Michael, what's his name?
Michael Myers?
No, the star of Fatal Attraction.
Oh, Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas, what an ass. First off, Glenn Close doesn't even look that good. And his wife is bomb as f*** in that movie. Like, she is hot. For an older lady, his wife is super hot, super cute. And Glenn Close is like, I just see
She looks like the angry office manager. She's gonna yell at you. I don't know. Glenn Close just kind of always scared me, which I think is probably the reason that they put her in that role. I don't know. Who knows, man? Wasn't that in the fucking late 80s or early 90s?
Yeah, it
Who
was.
Who knows what was going on back then, man?
She had a bad perm, and every time I see her, I just think of the fucking villain from 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, Cruella De Vil?
I just see Cruella De Vil with a bad perm.
Because she was Cruella De Vil.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, okay, all right, fair enough.
Going off on a Fatal Attraction f***ing rant. I'm not going to give a spoiler alert 30 years after the movie, so you can watch it yourself.
I did like the Rob Zombie remakes of Halloween, though, too. I think that dude does some creepy-ass I'm not really into the music side of what he does, but he makes some f***ed up movies. You said you saw 31, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of, wasn't that a clown thing also?
There were clowns in it. I got to say, it's an okay movie. I don't, you see my
As you
eyes
roll
shifting.
Your eyes.
Yeah, just like, it's okay. It's brutal. It's a horror movie. It's not that great, honestly. Yeah, it's just, the story kind of blows. And I love this first movie, fucking
House of a Thousand,
House of a Thousand Corpses, and what was The Damned?
House of the Damned?
No,
The Devil's Rejects?
Devil's Rejects, sorry, my bad. And that was good. You know, I know he can make good movies. It's like a bad Eli Roth movie.
Halloween 1 and 2 are pretty good that Zombie did. I never was into it. It was just slightly before my era, the 70s, like Halloween originals with Jamie Lee Curtis. I think the first one I ever saw was like Halloween X, the revival or whatever.
Rob Zombie's Halloween remix because Rob Zombie and John Carpenter have been beefing.
Yeah, did you see
recently.
The news story? I didn't put it in our thing, but apparently they just like squashed it.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
But apparently John Carpenter did not enjoy the liberties that Rob Zombie took with the Halloween remakes. And so like there was just some beef back and forth and stuff. And I don't know. But apparently they squashed it. So that's cool. Maybe they can do a movie together.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Well, maybe he can show Zombie how it's done.
Maybe he can add some music to a Rob Zombie record. John Carpenter themes are fucking rad. My friend went and saw John Carpenter performing all of his themes when it was at Paramount.
I'd go see
that. And it was incredible. He said it was just like the coolest thing ever.
That sounds epic. All right, boys. Let's get into some news. There's a lot to cover over the last couple of weeks. Lots of new jams.
Oh, let me go first, man. Let me go first.
All right.
So we're going to go the polar opposite of the best thing ever and talk about the new In Flames song.
Okay. You're trying to lead with In Flames this week.
Yep, we're going there right
Hashtag
off the bat.
Make In Flames great again.
Yep.
Shout out to PBR guy 007 who adds that hashtag to everything that KISW does on social media.
He's making that extra viral.
He's taking it seriously.
He's making that like super resistant to antibiotics, like the most viral.
All right, so I think this is the third one we've done, right, off this new record?
Mm-hmm.
The record's coming out, I think, on November 11th is what it was, just off the top of my head. The new record's called Battles. There was a couple of swings and misses. Let's give this one a try. I think we owe them.
Making Flames great again.
You did me wrong, and I applauded you. I became the blade that I pierced through. Now hiding from the world outside, trying to create magic for the pacified. You never felt the answers. Aim at you, my friend. Did you find yourself lost in the world we swore to protect? If you can see it, if you can see it.
So there you go. There's a little piece.
Hashtag making flames great again. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I think this is my favorite one out of the ones that they've posted so far, at least.
Ryan looks like he's really into it.
He looked like he was giving it a chance for a second, and then it hit a certain part, and you just see his eyes roll in the back.
Gee, I wonder which part.
Dude, In Flames for me, that used to be my favorite band. I used to jock that band so effing hard.
New music by Vader, Poland's death metal band that we love here on Metal Shop. They have a new record coming out called The Empire on Nuclear Blast November 4th. Here's a new song, and it's called Parabellum. I don't know. Tool f***ed it up for me, so I don't know how to say that word anymore.
November 4th.
Sounds like Vader.
Parabellum. Why does it smell like a f***ing apothecary in here all of a sudden? Did you put some beard oil on or something?
No, man. I got a moisty nap.
It actually smells really good. What the f*** is that?
It's a moisty nap from B-dub-dub.
Wow. Okay.
Moisty napkin. My hands needed some moistness.
I'll give your hands some moistness.
Okay.
Let's just keep going with the new stuff. Superjoint. Not Superjoint Ritual, Superjoint, the new incarnation, has a new record coming out. When does it say it's coming out? There's no date!
Oh, it's not going to come out. It's not out.
It's called Ruin You. We'll figure it out. Somebody figure it out.
It doesn't sound like a Superjoint song to me because it doesn't start with
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's true. It does start right away, though.
The album Caught Up in the Gears of Application comes out on November 11th.
There it is.
Of this year. Cool. Not next year.
Sounds good. I'm down for it.
Testament has a new song called Stronghold. Mm-hmm. So let's just keep giving us little tastes of new albums. Let's keep the listening party going. The new album is called Brotherhood of the Snake. Comes out October 28th on Nuclear Blast. Stronghold. This is a thrash band that keeps it. 100. No need to beg or borrow. Is there a better way? Will our children see tomorrow? Don't live for yesterday. So take the lead, not follow. Forever holiday. We have the final say. There it is.
I think that's Skolnick or Eric Peters.
Yeah.
I'd say it's Skolnick. Well, they're probably trading, huh? Cool, there you go.
I think it's the combined guitar might of Pete Nick.
It rocks.
Pete Nick. That's perfect. All right, let's see what else is going on. Hour of Penance has a new record coming out. We don't have any songs from it yet, but it's
going to
be
here. You broke the streak!
Prosthetic Records, January 27th, 2017.
Dude, this album cover looks freaking badass.
It does.
I was kind of staring at it for a second, and it took me a minute to see the skulls in the background, the two giant... Dude, Reaper hands coming up with those saw blades. That's epic. Badass. Yeah.
That's epic. That band's done nothing but good things since they came out.
We do have new music by Ion Dissonance, though.
Yay.
So let's take a listen to that. It's a new song called Perpetually Doomed, the Sisyphean Task. New album is called Cast the First Stone. It's out on Good Fight Records on November 18th.
That guy's vocals remind me of some old hardcore singer that we used to hear all the time.
So, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you ever want to see something awesome, look up the video of Ion Dissonance playing in a dude's kitchen.
Whoa.
The entire band crammed into this tiny little kitchen, thrashing their minds off. It's awesome.
That reminds me of when I saw Animosity in a living room.
Yeah.
Dude. A Don from Ghost Ship was telling me about getting to see Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum at some dude's grandma's house.
In
the middle of her living room.
I played a show with Weekend Nachos in a basement in Indiana, and somebody took the time for 3 hours and melted like 4 pounds of cheese, and there was a huge-ass nacho party.
That's awesome.
That is it was badass. Amazing. What did Weekend Nachos think? Were they stoked?
On what? On
the nachos?
Fire? Yeah.
Can you not be stoked on that?
We crushed. It, looking back on it, it's kind of fucked up and disgusting how much cheese we probably ate. They just took the blocks of cheese, sliced them up, and put them in the microwave, and we're like, keep them coming.
Nice.
It's gross.
And by the way, nobody was stoked on open fire.
Yeah.
Oh!
Trust me. It's fine, I know.
I'm just playing. They still have their CD for $10 at Silver Platters, I saw the other
really?
Day. Really? Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Who's paying $10 for that?
Steve probably has 3,000 of those f***ing things in his garage right now. Anyway, nobody gives about that. Moving on.
Crush.
Kerry King finally said that he's open to having Gary Holt write some songs for
Took
Slayer.
Took long enough!
He said on the last record that he was going to do it all himself. And Gary Holt f***ing rules, so he should be writing some songs for Slayer. The thing is that they're kind of similar styles?
To Exodus, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they are and they aren't at the same time. Plus, there's other people in Exodus, too, who write music, I'm sure, so... I want to hear a Gary Holt Slayer song.
Yeah, that'd be f***ing awesome. I love Gary Holt and I love Slayer, so I think he could... You know, the thing is like, I wonder if he would be like, well, this is what a Slayer song should sound like, or if he's just like, this is what I want to play. You know, it's kind of like...
Yeah, and then you risk, like, butting heads with Kerry King.
Yeah.
Whatever.
If you're, like, a new guy in a classic band, do you try and, like, play it safe and be like, all right, this sounds like what Slayer should sound like?
I would love to hear that. Gary Holt writing what he thinks a Slayer song should sound like.
He does like a Meshuggah riff. Kerry King's just like, what the fuck?
This is what Slayer should sound like.
Yeah.
I'd be down.
He writes like a fucking like Set Your Goals song.
All right,
it's
so
like pop punk.
He should start a pop punk band with Ryan the Beard. Beard, and you could call it Beards of Pleasure.
I've already got a pop punk album written.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Gent pop punk.
Holy shit, you just created a new genre.
Yeah,
genre.
Yeah.
Gent pop punk.
I got really bored for like 2 days because Dave was out of town and my girlfriend was busy and
you
my
could
computer
take that,
wasn't working.
You could take that viral and make millions. Speaking of going viral.
I call it junk.
Phil Anselmo has a new interview on the Decibel magazine front page.
I'm just gonna leave that.
And they're covering a Super Joint, Dime Bash escapades where he said some very racist and you know,
white power.
And it just says on the cover, it says, "I'm doing myself no favors by granting this interview," is a quote from him. So I don't know. I didn't actually read this article, so if
well,
you want to go into
it. There's one paragraph here that I'll read from him directly. So first and then this is from Phil. "First and foremost, I do take full accountability," he told Decibel for the magazine's cover story in December of last year, or this year. "I'm not deflecting at all. What I did was insulting, absolutely, and abhorrent, because it did truly upset people, and it hurts my heart that anyone would think that I'm the dreaded R-word, a racist. Anyone who truly knows me know that that's utterly ridiculous, but if I did offend my Jewish friends, people I work with, my associates, other people in bands... If I were to upset people in that particular way, that's why I apologized. That apology is there, and no, you won't get another one ever again." I mean, what? Okay, yes. I mean, that's pretty much the first thing you should do. Apologize. Acknowledge that it f***ing sucks. But what else is he supposed to do, or is that kind of just going to be hanging over his head for the rest of his career?
I don't know.
I got nothing, man. Like I keep trying to come up with something to.
I don't know. I mean,
he says, "So should I have done it? Hell, f***ing no. Would I take it back? Absolutely. But my sense of humor is dark. My temper is and always has been volatile. So I reacted. I reacted in an ignorant way. I own it. But do I believe in it? No. That's ridiculous."
Well, you shouldn't have f***ing done it, man. And yeah. You kind of just like Vinny was saying in an interview the week before last, when we were on break, that he thought that Phil, like, seriously had tarnished the image of Pantera kind of forever by doing that. Because they already had murmurings about that band, you know, with the Confederate flag imagery and just, you know, other dumb that he said on stage, you know, "Maybe tonight it's a white thing.
Black on black crime. Like, does that mean kill a white man?"
Jesus, Phil, like, what the fuck? It's the same as Dave Mustaine going on and saying something. If he would go on and say something anti-gay or anti-whatever with the track record of, you know, like, dumb they've done in the past. I don't know, man. This might have been it.
It's certainly not good branding. Can you imagine being his PR guy and waking up in the morning?
We just played that new Superjoid song.
We play Pantera still. I don't know, man. Now let's talk about someone who is a metal master, okay? Let's just keep going. And I guess the thing they have in common is they're both singers of awesome metal bands, and they're both f***ing bald white guys.
Yes, they do have that in common.
Rob Halford from Judas Priest says, I would be dead without sobriety.
Yeah, he said he's coming up in January. It'll be 30 years of sobriety for him. What's 30 years from 2016? 86?
1986, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I'm 30 years old. I'm stupid as shit right now.
He said, I love people. I love being in a band. I love making music. And I had to figure out what was more important. Figure that was way more important than being addicted. So, you know, that's f***ing awesome. 30 years of sobriety. And he's been able to rage and go on tour and f***ing kill it. And if, you know what? I'm going to say this now. If you're listening to this podcast and you have Instagram, you got to go ahead and follow Rob Halford, because he is hella fun on there. Like, he has a lot of fun. He interacts with his fans, and he just posts, like, goofy pictures a lot. And you can tell he's just having a good time with it. It's his official account. It's not, like, some, you know, record label running it for him. He posts, like, corny selfies with, like, all kinds of fans and just, like, weird DCs, you know, just on tour, and just, it's fun. He's a fun guy.
He's clearly pretty self-aware. I guess I just want to end with the last thing he says here. He says, for anybody who's listening to us, if you're facing that kind of challenge in your life, please help yourself. You hear all these silly things like rehab is for quitters and you're a man, have a drink, blah, blah, blah. If you're going, which is I probably said to both of you at some point.
Yep.
If you're going through the same difficulties that I went through, you know that it can be a matter of life or death, quite frankly. And we've also all seen that. So be aware there's people out there, there's great organizations out there to help you start on a path to a brand new life that's full of wonderful things waiting to happen.
Which is true.
I'm going to grab my phone and follow him right now.
Smart thing to do.
I'm very excited for this new Life of Agony record. It's going to be awesome. And it's their first in over a decade. And it's their fifth studio LP. It's going to be coming out in the spring of 2017 on Napalm Records. It's going to be Life of Agony's first since singer Mina Caputo, also formerly known as Keith Caputo, came out as transgender in 2011. And, you know, I listened to an interview with Mina on the Jamie Josta podcast, which we talked about earlier, the Josta podcast. Very good podcast. Check it out if you have a chance. But Mina was on there, and it just sounds like she's super stoked on just doing this band, and now that she's like fully comfortable in her own skin, it seems like she's just rocking it. And it's cool to see. It's very refreshing and pretty cool. So there's a little preview of it right here.
I'm into
it.
It's tight. 2017.
I wonder if they're going to have any of it. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait for that. A place where there's no pain is going to be coming out spring of 2017 on Napalm Records. And we got to f***ing interview all the members of Life of Agony when that drops.
It's been 10 years, man.
Hell yeah.
King Diamond's got a new DVD coming on the way, and has also said that he's going to be taking a huge chunk of time in 2017 to writing a brand new King Diamond record.
Yeah!
Which is awesome. Let me see if I can find... Yeah, it says... He says here, 2017 will be spent mostly on writing and recording, and we will also try to fit in a few special festival shows, performing the same set as on the Abigail tour. We might even hit a few places we haven't been in a million years.
They've been around for a million years?
A million years.
That's f***ed up.
It is f***ed up. He's invincible.
He looks good for being that old, man.
That's why he wears the makeup. It revitalizes him, you know?
It's a moisturizer.
Oh, yes.
Like your wet naps.
Yes. No, I'm very wet. Pantera, we talked about Phil and a little bit of Pantera, but now Pantera is doing the whole reissue thing. They did the Vulgar Display. They did the Cowboys from Hell reissue. And now comes the Great Southern Trendkill reissue. And when they put out this reissue, they also do, it's a two-disc like the other ones, and they do... old mixes, they do live stuff, they do unreleased. For the Vulgar, they did the Piss unreleased track. But for this one, they're going to be doing a bunch of mixes and early mixes. So we're going to play one, Drag the Waters early mix. And this is going to be coming out soon.
Drag the Water.
We need more cowbell. I gotta say, my favorite part about this story is where they dug up what Dime was saying about his guitar playing on the Great Southern Trendkill. Here's what he said. There's definitely quite a few solos on this motherfucker, but beyond quantity, I think that I'm developing more of my own identity lead-wise. My solos are more focused. Some of them even have a melodic theme-like vibe in places like the ones in Floods. Also, I've gotten into doubling my leads like Randy Rhoads used to do. I'm not panning them right and left in the mix. It's too right on top of each other. To a lot of people's ears, it might sound like I'm using a chorus or a similar type effect, but it's just me doubling my parts.
Nice. All right, I got to cover this one because I'm a collector of these things, these vinyl pop figures. You've probably seen them around if you go to any toy store. Literally, if you go to any store, GameStop has a ton of them.
Pete Dominguez has a huge shelf of those.
I collect the WWE ones, and they have all kinds of, like, superheroes. They have any kind of TV show or movie or sports or anything. Anything that's pop culture related, they have little pop figures. You know what I'm talking about.
Bobbleheads, Funko.
Yeah, they are really fun and addicting, and now they have a Lemmy pop vinyl figure going to be coming out to make him immortalized with a pop figure, and it's going to be really cool because the first thing I noticed is, first off, he has his moles, like his big,
two big moles,
wart things on his face, and also the fact that he's not smiling, like he's not. He looks kind of like bummed out, like Lemmy look, like just kind of like gruff. It's like his eyes are half shut. He's just like, "F you, I'm Lemmy."
Just in time for the holidays.
So, Lemmy pop vinyl figure. If you go to blabbermouth.net, you can watch an unboxing video of it. So, it should be about like 10, 12 bucks. Not much.
Did we talk about that on our last podcast?
We did not. It did not happen yet.
Talked about it. Okay, so what happened is that the Megadeth, Suicidal, and Monomarth Metal Church show, Dave Mustaine got on stage, mistook me and Kevin as two of the guys he did an interview with on Cairo like 2 years ago, where they accused him of being like a homophobe and this, that.
Well, he claimed that they gave him a gotcha question and made it, you know, this huge story or whatever. But,
I'd never heard about it.
I didn't either.
So nobody would have known about it had he not gone on stage and like started talking about it again after 2 years.
But he put KSW on blast. He didn't mention any names of any KSW DJs.
But
he
said
did say,
the two KISW DJs is what he said.
Yeah, he said two KSW DJs.
Talking about Metal Station in this thing.
And then he also tweeted it out. So KSW immediately had like a bad marks with that. We went back and forth with our management, and it ended up he redacted his statement. He came back and he apologized. He went on Twitter. He apologized to us. He sent us emails.
But It carries on this week because Dave Mustaine took the time out of his set again to call out a fan in the audience. And we already talked about this like a couple months ago when with Dave Draymond and the cell phone thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So let's see what he said.
At my concert.
Here we go.
So I said, go get that guy. So they grab him. And I said, so what?
So somebody's what? Obviously yelling at him.
What'd you say? Okay, everybody, I'm going to wait till this ass done talking. Oh, go ahead. Whatever you got to say is more important than what I got to say. Go ahead. No, don't act like a kiss ass now. Talker, shut the up. Okay, so like I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted by this pile of I was in Antrim, and this guy was selling t-shirts inside of the concert.
So Dave's concert. Trying to be like a cool stand-up comedian. He's trying to play like his like Louis C.K. and like call out the people. But the thing is it's not a stand-up club. Like if you call out a stand-up comedian, you should be talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a small, intimate setting, and everyone's there to watch you talk. It's a fucking rock show.
Yeah, it's a metal show, and people are like having a good time, drunk, talking to each other super
yelling,
loud.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, I'm telling a fucking story, okay? You don't get to talk it. I don't know. Cool. It was funny when he called him a turd, though. I did laugh at that.
Dave always making the headlines.
This fucking turd.
This pile of shit.
Oh, it just kind of sucks. It's like, there's just no humility in that dude is what it seems like. Here's a cool story. So one of the guitars that Slash used to play, obviously of Guns N' Roses and a bunch of other stuff, one of the guitars that he lost apparently a long time ago has been found and now is being offered for sale at auction on November 5th. I wonder what the legalities of that are. Couldn't he be like, that's my guitar?
Mine.
Yeah.
Every time I hear about somebody losing an instrument, it just blows my fucking mind.
Yeah, I've seen it happen. Let's see. He said he custom ordered it from BC Rich through the Hollywood Music Store in West Hollywood in the early half of 1984. So it's a custom BC Rich from, you know, the early 80s. And he was playing Madame Wong's West in Santa Monica on June 16th, 1984, where he played with Hollywood Rose. The first time that Axl played with Steven Adler. And then, let's see here. It was one of his main guitars during Guns N' Roses. And he played it last on January of 1987, stored it away in a custom Anvil guitar case. The BC Rich was blast played in January of 1987. It looks like they played it. They just pushed it in storage, into storage in some closet somewhere, and then just forgot it was there.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, having an instrument stolen, that's one thing.
Right.
And that sucks. Like, super effing hard. But just straight up misplacing your instrument and not...
I mean, here's the thing. You got to follow it back through the timeline. Like, he lost it right when Guns N' Roses was getting huge and probably making a lot of money. So he probably had a bunch of other guitars that he was, like, playing and was just like, oh, I'll come back for that, you know, whenever I need it. Who knows? Who knows? But they found it, and now they're selling it.
Nice. Ice-T and Body Count are coming back with a new album called Bloodlust. It's due in early 2017 via Century Media. 2014 saw the release of Manslaughter, the first Body Count record in quite a while, and this is what he had to say to Revolver magazine about the new record. He said, making records is a very interesting process. You work really hard on something and finish it, and then you'll be like, yo, that sounds like somebody else's record. Hey, didn't we make that record 3 days ago? one time he said, we did a song, two songs in a row, and afterwards I look at them and said, that's the same riff in each song.
Well, at least he knows.
He said, you know, the record, he likes to start with hot metal tracks so that you can listen to without a word on them and go, wow, that was like fire. I can just, oh man.
God, so, I want to hang out with
Ice-T. Just talking about metal is awesome. So yeah, new Body Count going to be coming out. Bloodlust in 2017.
Pestilence is back. They've got a couple of new members. Original guy Patrick Mameli, who's the vocalist guitar player. Now with Santiago Dobles from a band called Agora. And Tony Choi from Atheist on bass. And let me see if I can get this right for a shot. Septimiu Harsan.
Ooh!
From Disavowed.
Actually, it's Septimiu. I'm just kidding.
So that band is back together again, and they are booking shows for 2017. So maybe
book them, Ryan.
Maybe we'll see them. All right, here's the funny old man fucking story of the week. We were laughing about this last week. Ozzy Osbourne.
Old man Ozzy.
Yeah, does this guy get himself into the most bumbling fucking weird misadventures?
I love the picture that they chose for this too, because it looks like he's actively.
I just saw there's a Twitter page called This Day in Metal. You guys should check it out. It's actually fucking rad. They post like 10 or 15 things a day.
Sure.
And they said that it was today in 1984 in Iowa that Ozzy first bit that bat when he bit the fucking head off the bat. So that was
PETA would just fucking blow their goddamn minds.
Yeah, so that was 32 years
that
ago.
That happened today.
Here, Ozzy Osbourne had to be hospitalized after getting a vitamin tablet stuck in his lung.
Oh. Come on.
So instead of swallowing, he breathed it in. So they were filming, he and his son Jack were filming their show called Ozzy and Jack's World Detour. And he said he was lying down when he took the vitamins, which is f***ing stupid in the first place. And he was lying down on the couch, took a handful of vitamins, and then he coughed. The pill shot into his lung, and we had to get him into the hospital to get it removed.
Damn. Well, I'm glad he's okay. Ozzy, you can go back to being a sex addict.
Of course we aren't going to let you go from our podcast without entering Metal Shop's Brutal Poetry Too Hot for Radio Lounge, where we intentionally try to find the most f***ed up thing we could find this week. And I think Kevin has found a true gem. Tonight he reads a passage from a band called Slag off of their record Violent Opposition in 2014. Here's KXFXCX. Take it away.
I just want to squeeze my hands around your scrawny chicken neck. Cluck, cluck, cluck. What the f***? Do you need to see a frog become a goat? Feel my loathsome rage as you f***ing choke. Your face turns purple, but don't worry. This is God's plan. Cluck, cluck, cluck. What the f***?
Prolific. Prolific as usual. Well, thanks again for listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, episode 102. We're going to jump into Kevin's interview with Gojira, and we'll see you guys again next week. Later!
Cluck, cluck, cluck. What the f***?
This is Kevin from KISW Metal Shop here. It is Tuesday, October 11th, and we are backstage with Joe Duplantier, I believe.
That's very good.
And he is from the band Gojira, currently on tour with Tesseract. And welcome back to Seattle, man.
Thank you very much. We're really happy to be here back in Seattle.
That's awesome. Your new album, Magma, it's awesome. We've been playing the hell out of it. Going into it, was there like anything that you wanted to achieve with the album in particular? Anything different? Anything of the out of the ordinary influences maybe that came into play?
You know, it's always the same old feeling when we are writing music and when we're about to record, is that we want to push the boundaries of what we do, and it's a quest, man. Like this whole thing, this whole life is like a quest. To achieve great things, you know, things that are bigger than us, you know, poor little mortals, you know. And it's always this idea that we want to create a sound or a vibe. I see it almost like architecture, you know, you put together like proportions and ideas and shapes.
Sure.
and vibrations, and it's the best thing in the world to me. Writing music is the best thing ever. So we always have these crazy, epic visions in our heads.
Yeah.
You know? And then when we write the songs, we're not even halfway there. But then we're like, okay, that's the best we can do. But we're always trying to push harder and harder to create that thing, that very special thing that
sure.
is not trying to be a metal band or not. It's not trying to do anything. It's just really creating a vibe or a kind of a dimension.
Yeah,
music is like a parallel dimension. You're free to create whatever you want for people to join and enjoy. It's the greatest feeling in the world. And on that album, we had this vision of something that was more progressive, more
sure.
With different sounds, a different approach to the recording even and to shape the band like we wanted to sound like and look like.
Yeah. And you're satisfied with how it all turned out?
It turned out in a certain way. It's not what I had in mind. It never is in the end.
You sure.
know, it's never exactly the vision, but at least the vision is like an impulsion to go somewhere, and then where you end up is always like it's always a surprise.
Yeah.
And I like this record. Yes.
Cool.
I like it. It's cool.
That's good. Because we like it a lot too.
Cool.
The EP Sea Shepherd, from what I read, it was lost on a hard drive.
Yeah.
I put it up on our Facebook that I was going to be interviewing Gojira today, and one of our listeners asked the question, did you incorporate any of the music from that EP into Magma or Le Enfant Sauvage?
Not at all. Actually, when we composed these songs, we wrote the songs for the EP, it was before recording L'Enfant Sauvage, so it's now, it's like 5 years ago or something.
Sure.
And It was a time, and we had this idea to do that. We had some free time. We're in between two albums. We had a pretty large window, and didn't have a lot of crew members. And we did this thing on our own, and there was a computer catastrophe.
Sure.
We were able to finalize one of the songs of Blood and Salt that
yeah.
was released on by a UK magazine. It was great to do that because Devin Townsend was on the song and Frederick from Meshuggah. We have three other songs that are that were recorded in LA at the time, but it was a certain time where we were like focusing on that, and then we had this horrible computer problem. I thought I lost everything. It was very, very depressing and difficult to move on after
yeah.
that. But then we got, you know, really, really involved with the new record, L'Enfant Sauvage, and we signed to Roadrunner and
yeah.
moved to New York, and so much happened.
Yeah.
That it was, the momentum was kind of lost.
Yeah.
I was finally able to save all these songs, so I have them somewhere
okay.
on my computer at the studio. We're still planning to finish it because we had more guests doing
sure.
stuff on the songs, and it's going to be, the way I see it, you know, the whole idea behind this was to put the spotlight on Sea Shepherd, which
yeah.
we did, you know.
Yeah,
so that
absolutely.
That's done. I mean, people know that we support these guys and we love these guys. We were planning to sell this EP and all the proceeds would
yeah.
go to Sea Shepherd, and we still want to do that.
Yeah,
we invested time, we invested money and energy into this, and I love what the songs. But you know, like this, like the production side, we progressed so much since
yeah.
then that when I hear the takes now, I'm like, I want to redo the drums, I want to redo the guitars, and everybody's like, no,
it's too basic for you.
No, don't redo everything. Just release it, you know, as is. But we still have to mix. A few things we need time
sure.
and I know for people it's difficult to understand really the kind of life we have is really intense. We're on the road 6 months a year, come back home, and it's difficult to make time for things.
Yeah.
I have kids too, so it's
sure.
kind of it's difficult to run away from home even if
yeah.
for 2 hours to do something.
Sure.
But we're on it. Maybe it's going to come out in 10 years.
It'll happen sometime.
Yeah, it'll be a nice surprise.
Cool. Now, if you were the host of a metal radio show, say you had a weekly gig on a radio show, what are like a couple bands that you would make sure to play on a metal radio show?
I would play Tool. I would play Maximum the Hormone from Japan.
Oh, yeah.
I love these guys.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I would play Meshuggah. I would play the shit out of Meshuggah.
Yeah.
I would play Devin Townsend. I would play Car Bomb. Obviously, the bands that I know and I tour with, and they're my friends. There's so much good stuff out there.
Yeah.
I'm so ignorant, you know. There's a lot of bands I don't even know.
Well, you just named some great ones.
Huh?
You just named some great ones.
Yeah.
New Car Bomb is awesome.
These are good ones. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I guess I would discover. I would spend more time listening to music, and I would discover more stuff. It was if I was on the radio. But my job is to play and perform Gojira songs, so it takes a lot of my time.
Sure. Now here's kind of a left field question. What is your thoughts on the current U.S. political presidential race in the United States? Do you have any thoughts on it?
I don't believe in this system, you know, politics. I think it's a distraction, you know. I think people should. I don't know if it's not a good thing to say that people should do this or that, but my thought on that is, like, the most important is to concentrate on ourselves, you know, on the true revolution comes from the inside, and I think that's where the key is. And yeah, if you change yourself, you're going to change the world around you, you're going to change society, you're going to change the community, you're going to change the dynamic in your family with the loved ones and the people that are close to you and the neighbors. If you smile to a person in the street, they will smile back. There's a great chance that they will do that.
Yeah.
If you help someone that you know is struggling, or if you make a bit of money and you give some of that money for a good cause, I think that's where true change is. I'm not expecting anything from the political leaders, you know.
Sure.
Now, the situation right now in America unbelievable. I have a hard time, you know, wrapping my mind around it, and I don't understand what's going on, and to what degree this world is affected by corruption and stuff. I don't know. Of course, Donald Trump is freaking me out, like every other person that has a bit of common sense.
Yeah.
Other than that, man, I really, like I said, I think it's just a distraction, and people are fooled if they think that it's going to change something to elect the right president. I think the real change is coming from all of us.
I hear you. Well, awesome, man. I appreciate that, you being honest with that. Now, just off the top of your head, what's a band from France that you think that we should just check out?
You should check out Tripalium.
Tripalium?
Tripalium.
Cool.
Yes, you should check out Psycup. You should check out Igor. You should check out Lofofora, Black Bombay, Loud Blast. There's a whole different world out there, like of bands that are not always known in the U.S.
Sure.
That deserve attention. And there's, I know there's a great black metal scene in France, underground black metal scene that really is, you know, trying stuff and experimenting and pushing the boundaries. And I like that.
I'm like not Blutas Nord? Blutas Nord?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. These are
Alcest.
I'm not really familiar with their music, but I know they exist, and I know they're powerful, and a lot of people love them. I'm not really into black metal.
Fair enough.
Although there's some elements that I really, really like.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I'm more into all kinds of, you know, easier music.
Fair enough. You know? Like what? What do you like to listen to when it's not metal?
Gangstar.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
I like Gangstar.
Cool.
I like old rock, hip hop. You know, classical music, jazz. I like the old jazz of the 40s. You know.
Yeah.
I like electronic music too.
Cool.
Son, James Blake.
Yeah.
And of course I like metal.
You know,
it's kind of my life.
Yeah.
But at home, I'm not going to blast metal with my family.
Do your kids like metal?
Huh?
Do your kids like metal?
They love metal. Yeah. They say, Daddy, can you put loud music? So at first I thought they wanted me to put louder, but no, they want metal. And they call it loud music. I love that.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. That's cool. Awesome. Well, what's the rest of 2016 and 2017 look like for Gojira?
Looks like shit, man. It's like I'm gonna be out on the road all the time. I'm kidding. It's not shit, but again, for my family, it's it's not easy to see me taking off on tour all the time.
Yeah,
I would love to be home a little more, but yeah, it looks like we're gonna be.
Daddy's gotta pay the bills somehow.
Exactly. Yes.
Right on, man. Anything you want to say to the Northwest audience before I let you go?
I want to say I love you guys, even though I don't know you. But I feel blessed, you know, doing what I do. And I love that this part of the country is absolutely beautiful and inspiring. Yeah. The nature here is amazing. I'd love to, each time I tour here, I think I should come back here for a vacation. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Visit the mountains and the seaside.
Yeah, get outside of the city a little bit, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
That's awesome, man. Thank you very much. And we're going to see you rock out tonight. That's Joe Duplantier from Gojira.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.